דקה, זקה, עברת בי כמו תפילה, דימה טובה, נושקת בי את יופייך, עצוב ומאושר. לא 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 לא.
Welcome to the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. I am your host, David Feldman, and today is episode 5, Who's the Boss in Your Relationship? Many of the issues I deal with as a marriage therapist revolve around power struggles. Usually it is not overt, but rather the struggle masks itself within the context of the functioning of the relationship. Who is responsible for what? Who makes certain decisions? And who has the final say? These are oftentimes complicated conversations filled with confusion and a lot of emotion, because each one of us shows up in our relationship with a certain sphere of power and influence. We are so different. Our power and influence comes in many forms, sometimes financial. One person may have significantly more resources than the other, or sometimes it's educational, or even professional. In addition to these types of differences, we also have personal strengths, such as wisdom or talents or a particular character that is overwhelming or very powerful or successful. But what happens when your power and strength bumps up against and perhaps threatens your partner's? How do we handle it? Ultimately, who's the boss? In my office, it may just be a matter of sorting things out to solve an immediate problem of a particular situation. But if the power dynamic is not defined, the relationship will just find itself in hot water all over again when the next issue arises. We tend to cling tightly to our relationship power because we oftentimes conflate our own personal value and self-worth and respect with our authority. When our opinions and desires are respected and adhered to, we feel honored and loved. But when they're not, we feel lessened and oftentimes discarded. But at the same time, we cannot have two captains on the same ship shouting starboard and then the other shouting port. It doesn't work that way. There is only one captain in any given circumstance. So what do? Who wins? And more importantly, who loses? In one of the first chapters of the Bible, there is a story which may shed some light on this question. So even if you're not a Bible thumper or religious person, it is a fascinating story. At one point during a domestic squabble, God himself intervenes and cries out to Abraham from the heavens. He says as follows, "Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice." End quote. Mind you, Abraham was the ultimate in alpha male. He was a warrior that defeated many kingdoms. He was a learned scholar, a father, and a leader. Yet, in spite of this, God admonishes Abraham to listen to the voice of Sarah, his wife. How could this be? Abraham was 100 years old at the time. He certainly made many, many decisions without Sarah's input. Why, all of a sudden, is he instructed to listen to her voice? To answer this question, first we may want to take a look at some of the different ways that we can explore what power is all about. It was once mentioned to me that in general, there exist two dimensions of power and influence, the external and the internal. The external dimension focuses more on logistical and the surrounding framework of life, whereas the internal dimension focuses more on the personal impact and inner facets of life. For example, let's say your son wants to go to college. One way of making such a decision could focus on the externalities. How much does it cost? What degrees are offered? How far away is this college from home? And at the same time, we can also consider the internal aspects of this decision. Does he have friends going there? Will he feel comfortable with the environment on campus? Do the classes offer personal attention? Is the food nutritious? It is easy to try and relegate these two areas as one being important and the other not so important, or big picture, small picture. After all, if the school is out of your budget, who cares if the food is nutritious? And while that is true, even if we reach agreement on big picture issues, the small issues can easily derail our choice as well. If the school checks out for cost, degree, and location, but Johnny has no friends, it's over for that college. Thus, we can understand that both the external and internal issues are important. According to Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah, masculine energy represents the external axis of power, whereas feminine energy represents the internal power. This could explain why in this domestic disagreement, God comes along and exhorts Abraham to listen to the voice of Sarah. When it came to war or religion or location, God trusted Abraham to make the decisions. But when it came down to a domestic decision, Sarah's in charge. And when I use the word domestic, I in no way mean insignificant. The opposite is often true and is certainly true in this case. Abraham and Sarah were in disagreement about the entire lineage of the Jewish nation, something that they had been working towards for 80 years. Abraham was not used to deferring to Sarah, as most of his decisions were large-scale external decisions, nor did he want to defer to Sarah. Hence, God had to intervene and spell it out for him directly. In this situation, Sarah had more insight and wisdom than him, and he needed to listen to her. Fast forward 4,000 years, men and women are still fighting it out, or should I say, figuring it out, learning how to live with each other and balance out each other's strengths. So often I run into men who conflate a woman sharing her wisdom with being bossy, or the opposite. A man being called controlling when he shows up as confident in what he believes is the right thing to do. For me, I've learned to sensitize myself to these different realms of power, the external and the internal. Instead of fighting with my spouse, I've learned to lean into her insight in these areas, a wisdom I do not possess. Once I became aware of this distinction, of her special powers, I became awestruck with her ability to literally see and perceive things about our children, family, and social situations that are totally dark to me. Instead of fighting it, I've learned to cultivate it and seek out her advice in many areas. And the opposite is also true. I now know where my strengths lay and focus on becoming more confident and decisive in the areas that I'm gifted in. But perhaps the most important takeaway is that we are a team, men and women, and bring unique insight, perspectives, and wisdom to our relationship. The happiest couples I know never perceive their partner's strength as a threat to their own. Instead, they encourage it, learn from it, trust it, and use it to enhance their lives and their relationship as a whole. Thank you for listening. And tune in next week for another episode of The Impassioned Marriage. If you are interested in learning more, please follow me on Twitter at David Feldman or visit me online at www.davidfeldman.com. Thank you and God bless. Daka, zaka. עברת בי כמו תפילה, דימה טובה, נושקת בי את יופייך, עצוב
ומאושר. לה 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 לה